This episode of Destination Unlimited deals with topics that some listeners might find disturbing. Not recommended for children under 13, and listener discretion is advised. My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Listeners to Destination Unlimited, as well as personal friends, have heard me share stories of frequent paranormal experiences when I was a child. Growing up in the 1950s, I witnessed the apparitions of family members in spirit, only to have these confirmed by word of their passing shortly after my sightings. I also had what some have termed contactee experiences with beings of unknown origin and frequent UFO sightings. I called these experiences night school because I regarded these entities as teachers and always had knowledge following the events that I had no other source for. In retrospect, for me, these contacts were pleasant and filled with wonder. Unfortunately, many contactees are not willing participants and found these experiences frightening, painful, and traumatic. They call themselves abductees, and what many of them share are cautionary tales of warning for humanity. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, G.L. Davis, authored a brand new book about one woman's abduction experience and the frightening things she endured and learned. With a lifelong fascination of all things paranormal, G.L. Davis is the author of 6 books on the subject. His passion has always been for the paranormal and has spent years listening to and collating local ghost stories and myths. He admits he is on the fence in terms of his beliefs. He has witnessed many strange occurrences in his life, but prefers to travel the psychological and rational route before making any assumptions. He respects the views of all on the subject, maintaining that no person alive has the necessary knowledge and understanding of time, space, and the intricacies of the human mind to be certain about the paranormal. His books include A Most Haunted House, The Paranormal Chronicles, and Ghost Sex Violation. He's the creator of the website, theparanormalchronicles.com, and he joins me this week to discuss his new book, which will be released the day after Halloween, Harvest, The Story of Alien Abduction. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, G.L. Gavin Davis. Welcome, Gavin.
Oh, hello, Victor. Thank you so much for such a wonderful introduction, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. I am a huge fan. You have got a voice to die for, and I'm so very humbled and thrilled to be on this amazing show with your amazing listeners. And thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin. May I call you Gavin during the course of the interview?
Yeah, of course you can. Gavin, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Gavin, please share with our listeners your early life and how it led to your interest in all things paranormal.
Well, as synchronicity would have it, my paranormal life began when I was around 10 years old. I'd had some experiences when I was younger. I had an imaginary friend that turned out wasn't that imaginary and was a well-known ghost at a local mill that we lived in. But when I was 10 years old, our teacher read us a book called The Uninvited, which was based on true accounts of a huge UFO flap that had happened in my home county of Pembrokeshire in the late 1970s to the early 1980s, which was this prolific UFO hotspot of activity, strange beings, strange events. Everyone and their mother literally was seeing UFOs in Pembrokeshire. So our teacher on one summer's afternoon read us this book, and it terrified me. I was absolutely terrified. I was 10 years old. I went home. I was crying, thinking about disembodied hands and space aliens would come into my bedroom and attack me, as had happened to these people living in my area a few years before. And my dad came in and he said, "What's up?" And I told him that I was very upset. And he said, "Have you ever seen a ghost?" And I had. I thought I had. And he said, "Yes." He said, "Did it hurt you?" And I said, "No." And he said, have we ever seen like a UFO? And we had. It did frighten us, but it didn't do anything. We just saw this very, very bright light just skimming above the clouds. And then it just leapt up vertically in a bright flash. And me and my father ran home. And he said, were you scared? And we were, but I didn't admit it. And he said, it didn't harm us, though. We were fine. And he said, whatever there is out there, the paranormal, it's a wonderful adventure to be explored. And he said, it's the living that will do you more harm than anything in the paranormal. So that gave me the confidence and the courage then. And from there, that was it. I was reading books by Arthur C. Clarke on the paranormal. I was investigating local myths and legends, going on my own little ghost hunts. Did my first ever ghost investigation when I was 11. And that's how it all began. And it tied in really nicely with then the book I've just written, Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction.
Before we discuss Harvest, please share a little with our listeners about your previous books. Let's start with A Most Haunted House.
A Most Haunted House was my own personal testament into a house that I owned in 2006. Now, I bought a house with my then girlfriend, Blissful Beginnings, here in West Wales. And very quickly, the house was very strange. There's a lot of strange activity, things going missing, cold spots. And it's all very well being interested in the paranormal. It's all very well having an enthusiasm for the paranormal. But when you're suddenly living in it and you're trapped in it, because people say, oh, when you're in a haunted house, why don't you just leave? When you're tied to a mortgage, all your belongings are in there. All your savings have gone into purchasing a new house. It's very difficult. And this house was profoundly haunted. So I took the opportunity. I'm profoundly dyslexic. So I put finger to keyboard and I wrote the entire account of what happened to me and that girl and put it in A Most Haunted House, which went on to sell over 75,000 copies and really kind of launched my career as an investigator. And it was a terrifying house where we thought we were the victims of a home invasion. The house was turned upside down, but when we came downstairs, there was nothing. There was strange disembodied voices. I thought I'd had an encounter with a very old woman. I had a conversation with a very old woman that lived in the house. It was just a terrifying experience. So what I did was I tried to work out, was the house haunted, which was making us depressed because I ended up becoming an alcoholic. My girlfriend at the time, she had an affair. It just smashed our relationship like glass. Within 3 months, we were over. She had the house. I was an alcoholic. I was homeless for a bit. And it had a huge, profound effect. So I was trying to understand, to discern if was the house haunted and it made us that way? Were we just suffering the grips of alcoholism, depression, adultery, all those negative aspects in life, which made it assume that there was a paranormal incident happening? And people have said that A Most Haunted House is one of the most realistic and detailed paranormal accounts ever. They said it's very kitchen sink. There's no spinning heads. It is about the mundaneness of a haunting and how it builds and builds into something terrifying. And, you know, if you are into the paranormal, I highly recommend you give it a go because it's a huge part of my life. And I think a lot of people out there, they've had very, very similar experiences. And I think it might give them some relief to know that they're not the only ones.
I read that ghost sex violation created a bit of a controversy. What happened?
Ghost sex violation was my follow-up to A Most Haunted House. I interviewed a lady in Pembroke Dock right here in West Wales who claimed, very much like Doris Biver in the Entity case, that she'd been sexually abused and paranormally assaulted by a ghost and a demon. So I spent around 2 or 3 months interviewing her, brought in a female psychologist, interviewed a son, interviewed this lady's mother, and pieced together this investigation of paranormal assault and a very, very creepy haunting. And it ended up being one of the most controversial books of 2014. I received many death threats of people who felt very, very challenged by it. It was raw and brutal and graphic. I went into the detail of the sexual assault in great detail, not as a form of erotica. There certainly isn't 50 Shades of Ghost. And if you are looking for some titillation, you will not get it with this book. This book is brutal in every conceivable sense. It is about spectrophilia and the notion that paranormal entities can actually physically and sexually abuse you. Now, I brought in a psychologist, and we also present the psychological rationale behind what could be perceived to be causing these events, from things like sexomnia, where people have sex in their sleep. Sexomnia has actually been brought up in a court of law, and a man, he was let off. He was found not guilty of rape based on the psychology of sexomnia. So we go into all of that. Now, with Go Sex a Violation, it is not for the weak of heart. Do not pick this book up if you are looking just for a casual paranormal thrill. This book is terrifying, it's brutal, it's graphic, and 6 years on, it still gives me nightmares to this day to what happened to that woman.
Is that something in your follow-up investigations that happens frequently? Because it seems to be a rare occurrence.
After Go Sex the Violation was released, I got a notification. I got an email from a couple who claimed that they actually lived in a house I lived in a most haunted house. So I interviewed them as well. They verified that they had actually lived in a house at the time before I lived there, and they had very similar accounts to me. So I took their account and my account and all the research and put it into a brand new book called Haunted Horror of Haverford West, which is out there. It's available on Amazon and through Sixth Books. And the people who lived in the house before me, their paranormal encounters were amplified by a million compared to what happened to me. What happened to them was terrified. And one of the incidents that happened to the lady was she believed she was sexually assaulted by an old lady. Now, she wasn't sure if it was a dream or some kind of like delusional state or some fantasy state. But at the time, she thought she's been sexually abused by an old lady. Her husband saw a big black shadow draped across her in her bedroom. So paranormal sexual assault is more common than what you think. Now, unfortunately, there's people out there think that because, you know, especially now during COVID, there's a lot of lonely people out there and people need that familiarity or sexual gratification or just that intimacy. People are out there looking to summon ghosts, demons, paranormal entities, whatever you want to call them, into their lives to have paranormal sexual relations. Now, over 10,000 people a month on the paranormalchronicles.com search for how do I get a ghost to have sex with me? And what I'd like people to really fundamentally realize is whether it's psychological or whether it's real, that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you. I don't have all the answers. Victor doesn't have all the answers. We can give you the information. But what I would plead with you, with cases like Go Sex the Violation and in some degrees Haunted Horror of Haverford West, do not invite this into your life. Psychologically, it's very damaging. And should it be real, you could be inviting something into your home, which is incredibly destructive, and you won't be able to get rid of it.
Absolutely. What was the first UFO activity that you personally investigated?
To be honest, I haven't had a lot of personal UFO encounters other than what myself and my father saw when I was about 7. So to begin my kind of journey in which led me to Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, was that in the late 1970s, right here in Pembrokeshire, there was this huge UFO flap. And one of the cases, one of the actual events I found fascinating, was based in a small seaside town called Broadhaven. Beautiful place by the coast. If anyone wants to head over to my Instagram, The Paranormal Chronicles, there's lots and lots of pictures of Pembrokeshire and the coast. Just give you an idea of where I live and the beauty and the kind of remoteness of the geography down here. So in Broadhaven, there was a school. And on February the 4th, 1977, 16 school children aged between 9 and 11 claimed to have seen, struggling to take off, a cigar-shaped silver object with a dome on top. And it seemed like it was trapped behind some trees, like it was trying to take off, but it couldn't. Now, the children were so disturbed and excited and enthusiastic and worried by this, they went to their teacher, and their headmaster, Ralph Llewellyn, immediately sat them all down in exam conditions and asked everybody to draw what they had seen. And the pictures are pretty identical. It was of a silver cigar-shaped object with a dome with flashing lights. Now, one of the teachers, she claimed, an admin teacher, claimed that she saw it as well. But the sighting was dismissed as a sewerage truck, that there was a sewerage works nearby, and the children had simply misidentified seeing a very natural object. So this teacher, she went over to sewerage works and said, look, guys, do you have a truck or any machinery in the field by the school? And they said, no. No, not at all, because it would be impossible to get our stuff over there. It would be impossible to get a truck over there. And that began this huge UFO flap in Pembrokeshire. There was UFO sightings. Cattle from a shed were moved 5 miles in moments. A disembodied hand scarred a young girl. Red orbs are chasing cars. It was just humongously, prolifically abundant with activity. A 7-foot spaceman was seen in a farm. The Men in Black even visited. And that's where I began my investigation. And while I was investigating that, that led me to speak to the abductee who would later on go to feature in Harvest, the true story of alien abduction.
Why do you think Pembrokeshire became a UFO hotspot?
It's very strange because geographically, and especially at the time, it was very sparsely populated, spread over a huge area, pretty much just coastline and mountains. It's got over 58 beaches, and one of them is in the top 10 in the world. It's just beautiful, rugged countryside. Very bleak and barren in the winter. Now, for all its bleakness, it was pretty much just an agricultural area and tourism. But not only does Pembrokeshire have the second largest natural harbour in Europe, it has an abundance of oil refineries. We've had all the big oil companies reside there. We've got LNG gas, we've got power stations, this huge industrial complex sat there on the estuary on the coast. And when you go and look at it at night, it looks like that first scene in Blade Runner, just lights and flames jetting up into the sky. It's just mesmerizingly beautiful despite all the pollution and all it's causing. But at the same time, not only did Pembrokeshire have a Royal Air Force base, it also had a United States Air Force base as well. And I remember as a kid, you'd often see Phantoms flying through the air and then Hawk trainer jet, Hercules. The sky was just full of planes and helicopters. And one of the projects the Americans were working on was laying miles and miles of cable underneath the Irish Sea because they were tracking Soviet submarines. Early warning. Now, all of that comes together. You've got this huge UFO flap with this huge industrial and military operation going on at the same time. So the rational belief is that what people thought were UFOs and aliens was actually the American government with a top secret surveillance project of Soviet submarines.
We're going to get more into Harvest in our next segment, but let me ask you a couple of preliminary questions to that discussion. What is the protocol that you follow for all of your paranormal investigations?
It's all about communication. It's all about sitting down with your witnesses in a safe environment and talking to them about their experience. It's about scrutinizing every detail. Too many people run outside now with a night vision camera to an old cemetery saying, "Show yourself." That is not a thorough investigation. You start with the witnesses, you sit them down, and you've got to discern, first of all, are these people, are they hoaxers, are they fantasists, or are these people who've had a very, very real experience? And it's very difficult to discern at first, but once you sit down with someone, and you start talking to them, and you kind of discern what their, you filter through what their motives are. What do they want? If they start talking about money, Netflix, TV shows, you know, all things of that nature, I say no. It's the people that are weary, they're shy, they're almost embarrassed and ashamed to be talking about this. But they're talking to me because they want somebody with sensitivity and a non-judgmental approach to help them have a cathartic experience of letting go, of coming out the paranormal closet, so to speak. People want to let go of what they've seen. They want someone to say to them, it's okay, you're not crazy. Or in some cases, what you're experiencing is a psychological imbalance or a psychological disorder. And that's what I do. So I sit down with my witnesses. I sit down and the interviews can take months, sometimes years. And we go through the same parts of the experience over and over again. I want them to give me as much detail. I want to know what they were thinking, what they were dreaming, what they'd been up to that day. So that when you read my books like A Most Haunted House or Ghost Sector Violation or Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction, you get that sense you are part of the investigation. I will give you all the information and I will let you decide. Not once will I ever tell you this is real, this is true. I will let you decide. So communicating and talking and listening. The listening is a huge part of it. When you're speaking to someone who's had an event, don't just brush over it. Don't have a 5-minute chat. Oh, what did you see? I saw a ghost. I saw a headless horseman running down the road. Talk to them. Find out what happened before, what happened later, what happened to them on a psychological level, emotional level, physical level. Find out as much information as you can. And that's how I kind of set up these investigations. I don't go out anymore. Since I had a mini stroke in 2017, I don't go out like I used to. It's too tiring. I prefer spending my time with people and get into the brass tacks of their experience.
Absolutely. My guest is GL Gavin Davis. We're talking about his new book, Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction. Gavin, before we take our break, please tell our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and all of this amazing work you do.
Thank you, Victor. So Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction, it is available wherever books are sold. Okay, you can get it on Amazon. It's already been number one in its Kindle category in America, Canada, Britain, and Australia. So you can get it on Kindle. You can get it. You can find more information at www.sixth-books.com. That's my publisher, who I also work for. So if any budding paranormal writers out there, please get in touch with me through www.sixth-books.com. And also theparanormalchronicles.com. You can contact me about your experiences, read some of my news stories, read some of my bits of my books. You can just keep in touch that way. A Most Haunted House, Ghost Sex of Violation, and Haunted Horror of Haverford West, they're available wherever books are sold.
And we'll be back with more of Gavin and Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction, after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school can feel like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. FindSomethingNew.org offers resources that help develop new skills. Skills that can position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Find your path to a new career at FindSomethingNew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Gavin G.L. Davis, and we're talking about his new book, Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction. Gavin, many of those that you've interviewed have shared dark and negative experiences. What do you do to gain their trust?
First of all, once we've had that kind of feeling out process of, you know, what's my motive, what's their agenda, once we kind of come to that happy medium that neither of us are looking to exploit this, we're not looking to sensationalize this, I explain what I'm going to do. Now, because of the society we live in, unfortunately, many of your listeners out there, they're absolutely great because they understand that there is more to this life, more to this world, more to this universe than meets the eye. But a lot of people, unfortunately, are very, very challenged by that. And it can be very damaging, some of their attracts. Victor, you know yourself, you put something online, before you know it, it's like flies to muck. You've got all these people coming at you saying, what a load of rubbish, you know, effing and jeffing at us. It's been very unpleasant to us. So one of the things I have to absolutely guarantee is anonymity. I got to make sure that these people's names aren't revealed. There's no clues in the book that can lead to them. So once we're happy that we have an arrangement that we are going to conduct this case, and we kind of like map out a timeline, a roadmap of how long it's going to take, where we're going to go, what the end result will be, I will then sign a disclosure, just an agreement between ourselves, myself and the witness, the subject, saying that I will not at any stage reveal their name, do anything to compromise their privacy, do anything to compromise their family, their friends, etc., etc. So once that's in place, everything's signed, then, like for example, just to give you an insight, there's nothing stored on my computer. There is no information on any of my subjects on my computer. So people looking to find addresses, names, details, social security numbers, anything like that, deeds to houses, it is not stored on my computer because I want to give my subjects absolute satisfaction and guarantee that their lives will not suddenly just end up on the front page of a tabloid newspaper with reporters outside their house asking about little green men and ghosts in white sheets. You know, I have a lot of respect for the people coming forward to me to be interviewed.
That's a wonderful ethic, and thank you for doing that. That's something that everyone who's in the field should learn from. Now, do you sense that in sharing their trauma with you, they have some type of catharsis or healing?
To be honest, Victor, I think 100% of the subjects I've interviewed are simply looking for that catharsis or healing. Possibly some of them just want another opinion. Was this real? It's very, people are very grateful that I shared my experience. You know, if you're a leader, don't do anything that you wouldn't expect anyone else to do. So I've put myself out there having my own experience. I've presented the paranormal evidence, but I've also presented the rationale. I've also presented the psychological infringements and maladies that could cause such an experience. So I'm straight down the middle. So when you sit with me, I'm not going to lap it all up and say, oh, yeah, you definitely had a ghost. But at the same time, I'm not going to be too rational that I just don't accept it and scrutinize it to the degree that I'm like, I'm skeptical. I'm straight down the middle. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any abilities. I'm not a psychic. I'm not a medium. You know, I've had my own experiences, and I've also had my own psychological imbalances in life. So I feel like I am perfect's probably a strong word, but I think I'm a very good judge of helping someone through their own experience. You know, I can like walk them through it, get it off their chest, get it onto paper. One of my subjects recently said, do you know what, Gav, having it in a book has just made it feel like I've put it to rest. It's like it's out there. It's gone from me now, and it's out there. And the more people that read these books, the more people understand what I went through, it feels like I'm sharing that experience with other people. And the more people that read it, the more protected I feel. And that's a good way of looking. They feel shielded because it's like 100,000 people have read their account, and they feel like they've got that comfort blanket. They've got that security that other people out there now understand what they've gone through.
How has hearing some of these often horrific stories affected your emotional health?
I was called by someone in the paranormal field, but I was a method writer in that I absorbed the negativity, the fear, the anxiety, the mental health from my subjects. And I live it. I'm bipolar. I wasn't diagnosed until last year at the age of 44 that I was bipolar. And I have severe depression, suicidal depression. I have manic highs. And, you know, thankfully, I'm in a very good place. I exercise, I meditate, I do yoga. You know, I've treated this without the use of medication. And I've worked with my counselors and the psychiatric team to really get on top of it. So one of the benefits of that is that when you read one of my books, whether it's Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction, or Ghost Sex Violation, you really get the emotional context. People read my books, and one of the things that constantly comes back is it's intense. It's brutal. It's emotional. It depressed me. It scared me because I can communicate those feelings. And I, after a certain amount of time, I am so absorbed in the pain, in the suffering, that it does have a huge effect on my life. And I'll be really honest with you, Victor, and I don't mind sharing this with you. You know, we've shared a lot in this interview and before the interview. I find it really hard to hold down a relationship because when you have spent a year of your life collating the evidence for ghost sex violation and all that sexual abuse and trauma, how do you go home and make love to your girlfriend with all of that in your head? You know, how do you relax? How can you spend a session with someone who claims to have been abducted by an alien or had been a victim of a horrific haunting and then just sit down in front of the TV and watch the football game?
Yeah.
You know, I find it very, very difficult to disconnect. And it's been a hard journey, but I wouldn't change anything because I'm giving people the opportunity to A, have that healing, to get it off their chest. And also, my pain allows other people to delve into the world of the paranormal, to investigate the paranormal on a physical, mental, and emotional level that I don't believe you necessarily get with other books. So when people read my stuff, it is going to be intense. It is going to frighten you. It is going to make you leave you scratching your head. And I think that is because I myself am mentally ill.
Thank you for that brutal honesty. And I will share with you that being an empath or being empathic, even if you don't label yourself as psychic, means that you can feel what other people are feeling when you're in the process of interviewing them and listening to their stories. And that actually could be a topic for another complete interview that we can do in the future. But thank you for sharing that and your honesty about that.
Of course. No, honestly. And just, can I just say, with my hand on my heart, out of the greatest respect to everybody listening, okay, please think twice about getting into the paranormal field if you have mental health issues or dependency issues. Please think twice. When you go out there, whether it's real or not, I'll leave that up to you, Victor, and I'll leave that up to your listeners, whether the paranormal is real or not, when you go looking for the darkness, you end up as the darkness. And if you've already got a dark mind or your mind goes in certain ways, please, I'm begging you, do not fuel that. I suffer severely with suicidal depression, and too many people I know in this field have lost themselves to suicide and depression and dependency. So if do not get involved in the paranormal if you think you're at risk. Please do not be a hero for the sake of it. No, you know, that's my two cents.
Absolutely, and thank you for sharing that. Your new book is Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction. What led you to your first meeting with the central figure in Harvest, Susan, which is not her real name, but a pseudonym?
Yeah, of course. Well, I was investigating what had happened in Broadhaven in the 1970s, and I put a little shout out on my website saying if there's any witnesses fancied having a chat, I'd be very interested in talking to them. So I had an email from this lady, we'll call her Susan, and we met up in a local coffee shop, as I do with these investigations, and she wasn't in her 40s or 50s, someone of the time. She was a young woman in her mid-20s, very elegant, very well-spoken, very articulate, very intelligent lady. And I quickly realized she wasn't actually talking about what I was looking at. She was talking about something very personal that happened to her. She mistrusted me. She was ashamed, embarrassed. She wasn't sure. But then she, after some reassurance, she read through some of my other cases, some of my work. She then got back in touch and we began the investigation into Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. And I've investigated hauntings, dimensional beings and spectrophilia, the ghost sex phenomenon. But this was something so different, Victor. This was so terrifying because this is something that could affect every man, woman, and child on the planet. And with recent events, with the Pentagon coming clean, with this era soft disclosure saying there are actual craft coming into our airspace, I actually started to think, oh my gosh, you know, what if there are people being abducted? But it's not just abducted. It isn't the spiritual kind of abduction or the just I've just been experimented, which is bad, or the hybridization. This is a woman who believes she has witnessed not only the gradual harvesting of her own being, but has seen the full and traumatic and brutal harvesting of human beings on board some kind of vessel or structure.
And we'll touch more upon what she shared with you a little bit later on. But upon meeting her, what was your sense of her mental state and reliability in reporting what happened?
She's very hesitant, which is always a good sign. She was summing me up. She was scrutinizing my behavior. And I was dealing with an incredibly intelligent woman, incredibly articulate, a woman who had studied to be in a profession that was not to be, a woman who was from fine stock, as we would say. She's from a very career-driven and professional family, and her whole life just went into chaos. Now, when I first went to her home was, she had such sophisticated reading tastes, music tastes, art tastes. This was a woman who was well read. She had lots and lots of books on psychology and how the human mind worked, which made me think, was this woman living in part of her own fantasy? Was she deluded, or was she just fabricating a story? But there was no motive to it. There was nothing in it. She hasn't had a penny from this. She's not sat here talking to you right now. She's not on daytime TV. She's not in negotiations with Netflix about a series. And the more I spoke to her, this coldness she had just started to melt. And who I was talking to was a terrified young woman who had lost everything she was working for from something she didn't understand. Her life was roadmapped, Victor. She was given the silver spoon and the silver platter. She was going places. You know, by the time she was 30, she would have been riding high in a very successful career, earning great money. She was an attractive woman. You could only imagine she'd have a good relationship, children, all the good things in life. And this was a woman who, until these events happened to her, had no interest whatsoever in the paranormal. This was not on our radar. She wasn't religious. She wasn't spiritual. Her family would go to church to do the dutiful things like Christmas mass, weddings and christenings and whatnot, funerals. But she wasn't a religious person. And this whole thing just derailed her entire life.
Now, there were some incidents not directly related to Susan's experience that corresponded with her experience. What were those?
Some of the events she encountered, other people actually witnessed at the same time. So, for example, she claimed to have seen this huge ball of fire. It was like fire trapped in glass. It made its way down a very busy estuary with tugs and boats and a ferry with houses on either side, refineries. And she saw something with her boyfriend. We call him a boyfriend. He wasn't really. He was an on-off lover at the time. And they saw this light which kind of came up to the car and then shot off. But what she saw was witnessed and reported by fishermen on the other side of the estuary, cars on the bridge, and people in their homes. And what she saw has been reported many, many times. It's been reported in the local newspapers as a bright light, an orb that travels the estuary, this huge waterway. But it's even been tracked by tugs. It's been tracked in spotlights. And after the investigation, when I was putting the final notes on, I just asked people to send me the UFO stories to add as the final chapter. About four or five of those were of people in Pembrokeshire's waterways that claimed to have seen red orange lights. Now, if we go back to the 70s, these orange lights were seen then. And in one very famous case, a whole family was chased by a red light. And as their car kept going, the closer this red light got, the car eventually stopped. And the lady had to freewheel her car back to her house. And this light went to the house and left, and all the lights in the farmhouse was gone, the TV was blown. So these red lights that Susan claims to have seen, they're very, very prolific in Pembrokeshire. Maybe people listening now, wherever you are in the world, if you're having these red light experiences in your area, get in touch with me. I'm trying to collate as much evidence as you can. You can email me at harvestalienabduction@gmail.com. That's harvestalienabduction@gmail.com. I'd love to hear about your experiences with these red lights.
And my guest is Gavin G.L. Davis. He's the author of that book, Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction. We'll be back with more of Gavin after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Hey everybody, it's time for today's STEM tip. Want to know how to make your selfies even better? Okay, let's use science. The best time for photos is golden hour. That's the moment right before the sun sets, when the atmosphere scatters blue and violet wavelengths, making perfect, soft, and golden selfie light to show off that beautiful face of yours. Click. Check out Chic and STEM for more inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Vox Novus expands the horizons of Destination Unlimited, providing a platform for popular culture, lifestyles, interfaith spirituality, personal empowerment, environmental concerns, inspiration, and so much more. Each week, I will present authors and experts who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate this rapidly changing world. Join me, Victor the Voice Furman, each Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio and listen to the Vox Novus, the new voice.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Gavin G.L. Davis. We're talking about his new book, Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction. Gavin, how did Susan say these entities communicated with her?
This is where the book takes a very surreal turn, very disturbing turn, because a lot of it was cerebral. It was through dreams, visions, perceived nightmares. For example, there was three horrific nights she endured where the aliens were clearly communicating to her. And it would always begin that she'd be a little girl walking with a large black-shaped man and down a dark lane, and he's very, very big. And a light would appear from behind him, and they'd start running, and she'd lose him. And then next thing she'd know, she'd be in Haverford West, on a snowy, perfect Christmas scene. There'd be Christmas lights everywhere. There wouldn't be anyone there. The town would be deserted. It'd just be covered in snow. She wouldn't feel cold. And she'd walk down this hill and she'd see a light and it'd be a bar, which is no longer there. And she'd go into the bar and there'd be a cup of mulled wine on the bar. And they'd be playing "It'd Be Lonely This Christmas" by Mudd. And she'd turn around and there would be someone sat in a chair. The first night it was a grandmother who had passed from cancer. And there was this telepathy between them. So she'd sit with her gran in this dream state, whatever you want to call it. And the nan would smile at her and say, "Look, you know, I've got some friends here. And, you know, they're not going to hurt you, but we just need to do a few things." And Susan would get the feeling that there was figures encroaching on her. And she'd have a horrific pain in the back of her head going into her eye, and then it'd be some kind of ordeal. So on the second time that happened, she was in communication with the younger self. There was a girl herself when she was 7 asking her questions telepathically, like, "If you were raped, would you enjoy it? If there was a fire, who would you save, mum or dad?" And before, like, as she was thinking these things through, a voice would answer for her. So when she was asked, "If you were raped, would you enjoy it?" she was just thinking about how horrible that would be. This voice would say she would, and she'd be angry. And then on the third time, they showed her an apocalyptic disaster on such a horrific scale that I don't know, is it just for Pembrokeshire or is it for the world? But it was this vision of the whole estuary on fire, ships on fire being turned and tossed in a bubbling ocean, the blackness of sky raining down ash, people melting, children dead, people burnt to their bones, craters and just chaos and destruction. And they showed her a lot through these very strange dream states. And when I interviewed Susan, she was like, that's how they communicate. A lot of the imagery is difficult for us to interpret because these things are on such a higher level than us. And that might be challenging for some of your listeners to understand. But what we've got to remember is these beings, possibly if they exist, they could be interdimensional, they could be aliens. They are not only older than us, they are most certainly more advanced with us because some of the testimony includes the control of time, physics, psychology, memory. They have so much control over us. It'd be like, Victor, you explaining to your cat or your pet dog why you're going to get into your car and go to the supermarket to buy some bread and come back and put something in the microwave. You can tell that cat all day what your intention is, but that cat is not going to understand. It's just going to be a series of sounds and colors and blurs and whatnot, right? The cat will not understand. And Susan felt that these creatures, these beings, when we talk to them, and it's like talking to God, it's just a totally different level. You know, these things have no compassion for who we are. We are lab rats. We are chimps in a lab. We are creatures in a zoo. You know, we are lobsters in the restaurant. These things have no, well, they've got no compassion or
empathy.
Empathy, yeah, thank you. They have no compassion or empathy for who we are. We are simply just this resource to them. And the reason the book is called Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, after the first night of interviews, Susan said to me, these creatures, they're going to come back for me and pluck me like corn from the earth, right? Because Susan didn't even see us on the level as animals compared to the significantly advanced power of these beings. But we were merely corn. We were just a plant. We were just a weed. They can come and go as they wish into our lives and interact with us in whatever fashion they please. And guess what? There is nothing we can do.
So what is their motivation for doing what they do?
It's speculative in terms of we don't know. It could be to harvest us as we harvest animals. It could be that they use us as a commodity. It could be that we're an aphrodisiac to them. Some people might think us get a bit of a chuckle out of that, but we use parts of a shark and dolphins and for as an aphrodisiac. some guy in China or Japan's getting his rocks off because we killed a dolphin and harvested certain parts of its body, of its anatomy, or we've drained an oil or something from it, a chemical or a pheromone. So hybridization was one possibility, but they are entirely harvesting human beings on board. We don't know what it is. Is it a spaceship or is it a manufacturing plant? We don't know what it is. It was just this huge cavernous cathedral-like structure, this place where Susan claimed she saw hundreds, if not thousands, of women being shepherded into various areas where some were just being scraped in the vagina and anus region, the mouth, the eyes, the nose. Some were having grafts taken off them. Some people were up there giving birth where the children were being taken away. And some, she claimed, were women who were older or suffering with, you know, diseases she could only imagine, things like Parkinson's or dementia, where they were being harvested entirely until everything was sucked out of them and there was just like some skin left. So we don't really know their motive. It's open for speculation. You know, this isn't a spiritual encounter. This isn't a positive encounter. These are coming into our world and treating us the same way we treat cattle. We put cattle in a field, we put them in a van, we put them in a truck, we put them in the abattoir, we put a bolt in their heads, and we eat them.
What would Susan like the rest of humanity to know?
Susan sees this as a warning. It's not just cathartic, it is a warning. If you think about it, right, she claims that she saw thousands of people on board this place. We can't call it a spaceship or a base. I don't know how to describe it. What I want people to do is read Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. And because so much is open to interpretation, I want people to read it and then email me their interpretation, because the more people that read it, the more sense we can make of it. All of us can become investigators in this case, and we can all give our ideas, right? Susan wants this to be a warning, right? She wants our governments to take this seriously. She wants the people who are supposed to protect us, the police, the military, to take this seriously. There are people out there waiting, looking at their doors, waiting for people who've gone missing to come back into their lives. But no, those people are gone. They have been abducted and they have been harvested. On average, 625,000 people in America go missing every year. Of course, the majority have explanations, murders, suicides. They just had enough or dropped out. But if just 1% of those have vanished into the thin air with no explanation, where do they go? One person goes missing every 90 seconds in the UK. An island, 30,000 people a year go missing every year in Australia, right? People are going missing. Now, the United States government this year, in 2017 and later this year, said that there are aerial phenomena that are outmaneuvering our best pilots and our best aircraft, right? So these things are coming into United States airspace, right? So if these were, for example, Chinese, Russian, or North Korean aircraft coming back and forth unchallenged into American airspace, how would that make you feel as a nation? What if those same people were taking your family, your friends, people from your community and abducting them, torturing, experimenting, and harvesting like animals? We would go to war. And we have to ask our governments to help us, to protect us if they can. And that starts with a truth. Susan and her account in Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, is not the only one. There are thousands of people every month, hundreds of thousands over decades, and maybe millions over centuries. So what we need to do, what Susan wants, is to let's start taking us seriously and let's stop the harvest. It's in our hands. It begins with shows like yours, Victor. It begins with the listeners now. It begins with Susan. It begins with Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction. Books like Paul Wallace's Escaping from Eden. And everybody out there who's an advocate for ufology and strange aircraft and phenomena coming into our world. We need to know who they are and can we stop this? Because one day someone you love could go missing. You'll never see him again. And one day, what's not to say, whoever's doing this, they don't rock up and all of us are harvested.
My guest, Gavin G.L. Davis, is the author of Harvest, A True Story of Alien Abduction. Gavin, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your books and also find out more about the work that you do on your websites.
Yeah, Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, a most haunted house, ghost sex, a violation, and haunted horror of Haverford West. They're all available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. If you want some more information, go over to www.theparanormalchronicles.com. Find me on Facebook as GL Davis Author, or just join one of the Paranormal Chronicles Facebook pages. Really good group page with lots of activity and people talking, the Paranormal Chronicles group page. You can head over to my publisher's page, www.sixth-books.com. And if you do read Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, I want your take on it. I want your interpretation. The more people that read it, the more people can help understand what's going on. We're all going to work like a computer, okay? All different algorithms, interpreting this book, studying this book, investigating this book. And if you've got any ideas, your own experiences, get in touch with me at harvestalienabduction@gmail.com. That's harvestalienabduction@gmail.com. And Victor, thank you so much for giving me this platform to talk about a very, very important subject.
Gavin, thank you for joining us. And obviously, this is the first of many conversations that you and I will share with our listeners to come in the future.
I hope so. I can't believe we've left it this long, Victor. Anytime you want me to come back, we can go. We can get into the brass tacks of the ghost sex, the violation case, my time at the house in Haverford West, and just some of the really cool stuff that I've been investigating and theories. I would love that. You were one of the nicest guys in the world, Victor. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the voice, Furman. Have a wonderful week.